Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Looky here, on an agenda-free Friday. Look who's returned. One of the members of this actual show on the title, Maz. Tony Maz, putting the Maz in Felger and Maz. Welcome back, pal.
One of the great dink moves of all time, Murray.
Taking vacation on one of the busiest weeks of the year.
Well, that too. No, and then coming back on a Friday of it. The classic learning to say hello when it's time to say goodbye. That's what that is, but I'm happy to be back. I obviously missed a lot.
I think it was very telling. Your social media activity on your vacation, especially over the last 72 hours or so, really ramped up. Which made me feel like, oh, Maz has vacation remorse right now. There's so much going on that you're like, I can't stay away. I have takes. I have things to say.
So, look, we discussed this, as you know, before we all left last Friday, that typically NFL free agency starts a week earlier than it did.
Right.
So everything sort of got botched up, and that's why we are where we are. But given that it's agenda-free Friday, I'm going to start Patriots, if that's all right with you.
Please. I know you got a lot to say about this team and their offseason and a lot of the losses that they've endured here over the last few days. So go ahead.
So I don't know what Patriots honks are saying here, what the suck-ups are saying, or what excuses they're making or anything else. So I'd be eager to hear as we go because I'm catching up. I was out of state. I was down in Florida at spring training for a few days, but we'll get to that later. So I didn't listen a ton. I don't know what your takes are. I don't know what the fans' takes are, but here's what I would tell you. That most every offseason during the Bill Belichick era, if you are a Patriots fan, the Patriots have decided who stays and who goes. The Patriots decide that. More often than not, Bill Belichick decides whether he wants to keep Wes Welker or not, and then cuts bait and moves on. The Patriots are the one with the hammer. The Patriots are the one with the power. The Patriots are the one who choose who gets to play. Okay, the Patriots do. This does not feel that way to me. This feels like guys leaving. That's what this feels like. And if you look at the list of players who have left, and I will leave Deion Lewis out of it, because I think he is sort of from the moment they picked him up, he was kind of a fly-by-nighter. Like, to me, it was, let's see where we get out of him, and then if it doesn't work out, we'll cast him to the side of the road. That was it. But the other guys, Malcolm Butler, undrafted free agent, lifelong Patriot. Danny Amendola was here 5 years and came from St. Louis, but was one of Brady's guys. I mean, you didn't have to watch Tom versus Time to know while he's out there in Montana working out with Brady and Edelman that he meant something to the quarterback and that he was big in key spots. So he's a Patriot. Amendola's a Patriot. Malcolm Butler's a Patriot. Nate Solder is a Patriot. And they all walked. They all walked. Every single one of them. So you tell me why. What are we supposed to believe? It's still the good ship lollipop down there? Is that what we're supposed to believe? Because it feels like, and Gronk is holding out for whatever it is. So meanwhile, the quarterback, it still feels like has doubts on top of it. And this goes back to the whole sixth installment of Tom versus Time. So I look at the whole thing and say, it feels like they're sticking it to the coach.
Well, and there was an interesting comment made by Greg Bedard, who joined the show earlier this week, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. In which something he said about Tom Brady and his contract situation speaks to what you're getting at, Matt. So we'll get to that here coming up on an agenda-free Friday. Marshall Hook, who is in my normal spot, what do you got?
I'm going to take full advantage of the agenda-free nature of agenda-free Friday.
All right.
And I'm going to discuss briefly baseball, after which point I imagine it will be tucked away in a drawer, not revisited again.
Make
for
it
four
quick,
hours.
Hook.
Thank you. The new change to the rules in the minor leagues, this whole effort to put pace of play, it's ridiculous. This idea, this extra inning rule that they're going to start the 10th inning with a runner on second base and all the rules that go into it, it's going to solve nothing because the pace of play problem is in innings 1 through 9. It's not in innings 10 or beyond. Frankly, once you get to extra innings, you've kind of amped up the interesting factor because that means you've got, by definition, a close game. And so why? That's not the part of the game you want to rush. You want to rush the part of the game where it's 9-1 in the fifth inning. You've already been there for 4 hours and all of that. I think this, the rule they put in last year about the intentional walks, it's all cosmetic. It's also they can say, look, we're doing something. The only change that will matter, that will make a difference, and it is also part of this minor league change, is the pitch clock. Because it really comes down to the fact pitchers need to pitch. Hitters need to stand in the box and swing, and that's what will pick up the pace of the game. All this other stuff, It's crap. It's cosmetic crap. It's stupid. It'll fix nothing. And while this is not a particular gripe of mine, it'll massively screw up statistics when you start just putting runners on second base with no definition or reason how they got there. They just suddenly appeared, statistically speaking, on second base, and runs will score, and who do they get? All of that, again, not a gripe of mine. I don't really care about the stats, but there is no sport that more holds its statistics sacrosanct than baseball, and this just throws a wrench right into that.
I'm going to go with the Bruins and further proof that the NHL is going to be a shell of itself in a few years, if not sooner. Last night's first period, late in the first period, between the Bruins and Florida Panthers, David Backes hits Vincent Trocheck in the neutral zone. Trocheck leaning forward, reaching for the puck.
Hunched over.
Clean hit. No injury. No hit to the head. Quick brawl. Backes gets 5 minutes for fighting. And a match penalty. A match penalty for a hit to the head. Do you know, Maz, what the NHL rulebook says about a match penalty and how open to interpretation it is? I read this morning. It blew my mind. Rule 48.5 in the NHL rulebook. Match penalty. The referee, at his discretion, may assess a match penalty if, in his judgment, the player attempted to or deliberately injured his opponent with an illegal check to the head. Head. If deemed appropriate, supplementary discipline can be applied by the commissioner at his discretion. Now, either you can correct me if I'm wrong, or Jimmy Stewart in the back. Backes hasn't been suspended, right? The latest I've seen, it doesn't sound like he's going to be.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Go watch this hit. If you didn't watch the game, watch this hit. It's basically, the first thing that came to my mind is it's the Patrick Hornquist hit on Charlie McAvoy from a few Thursdays back when they were playing the Penguins. Trocheck was not hit from behind. He was reaching. Backes hits his shoulder. He hits Trocheck's shoulder. His shoulder. But because of the speed of the collision, it looks more violent than it actually is. And the referee decides, based on this rule, you know what? It's a hit to the head. And now that this player, Backes, who previously had no record, he's coming off a suspension. We have to watch him. So I'm decided, you know what? No, that was a hit to the head. That was him trying to injure Vincent Trocheck, because we were told before the game, I have to imagine, watch for this guy, because of his previous dirty hit he just got whacked 3 games for. A match penalty is what he gets. A match penalty. It's an absolute joke. The league and the referee should be embarrassed. I can't believe that happened last night.
I mean, I thought it was a clean hit.
It's a clean hit.
I thought it was a clean hit.
I try to be objective. If there's one team I'm typically not with, Maz, it's the Patriots. But this last night, like, that's a clean hit. I would tell you if it wasn't.
And look, I'm not in the business of defending the home team. The last time Backes got popped, I thought he deserved it. I thought the penalty was stiff, but he went up high. He hit the guy in the head. The puck was long gone. And in this day and age, you're going to get popped for that. Last night, I don't think he should have been tossed.
All right. It being an agenda-free Friday, I want to hear from you early and often as well. It's 617-779-0985. So we'll start off with Steve in Fort Lauderdale with a Patriots thought here on an agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mass. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, listen, I just want to give her perspective. And, you know, I'm a business owner. I have 10,000 employees in a competitive business. And the reality of business, and we'll talk about Belichick, is you're a custodian of the business for Robert Kraft. So your job is to have a nimble company and to have a profitable company and to roll with the times. That doesn't mean you coddle your employees, but you have to roll with the times, and what might have worked 10 years ago might not work now.
So who do you put, Steve, who are you putting the blame on right now for this thing behind the scenes still feeling like it hasn't been fixed between Brady and Belichick? And do you think that it's on Bill? He has to acquiesce to these players.
It's Bill Belichick. It's Bill Belichick. And I'm not a Brady, oh my God, Brady, you walk on water. You know, Brady's great. Belichick's great. But, you know, what's remembered is how you come in and how you leave. And you know, Belichick will have his records, but they're going to remember how he lit up this place on the way out the door.
So, Steve, thanks for the call. So, Maz, is it as simple? Do you look at some of these moves, like Solder gone, Amendola gone? And look, the money, I love Amendola. And he, like you said, he's one of Brady's guys. When I see what that money is, an 8.25 guaranteed for a 33-year-old receiver who's really just at his best in the postseason, I can understand why they didn't match that money. But do you look at some of these moves as just as simple as we're sick of Bill's crap? That's why, you know what, we didn't want to talk about a hometown discount. We've got our rings. We've accomplished a bunch here. We're out.
Yeah, I think in part. I mean, what other conclusion can you come to? In the case of Amendola, he's been willing to play ball with him every other time.
3 straight years.
So why the change now? Like, why all of a sudden now does he look at it and say, no, I'm not playing ball anymore? And Nate Solder, of all people, Nate Solder, who had every reason in the world to stay here if the offer was competitive, that one may have been more about money. Okay, that one may have been more about money, but even so, the fact that you lose a player of that at that position, really, and I say of that ilk, again, I go back to lifelong Patriot, drafted by the organization, first-round pick, good citizen, real pro, all of those things. That guy shouldn't leave here. That guy shouldn't leave. And Amendola's a Brady guy. Brady wanted Amendola. I don't think there's any gray area about that.
I'm with you on that, yeah.
And so the Butler thing was about money. And it, all I'm saying is this. It used to be, if you are one of these people that used to tout the fact that players used to come here and take less because they wanted to win, well, then why aren't they taking less now? Why aren't they willing to do that? And to me, there's obviously something has changed. Now, look, unlike that guy, I don't put it all on Bill. What, Bill Belichick at age 66 is going to wake up and say, oh, I got to be warm and fuzzy?
No.
And pull a Tom Coughlin and start having, you know, player leadership meetings and all that garbage? No chance. That's not going to happen. The damage is done. And to me, it did. It all started with the quarterback.
And this is where I think Brady's delusional in thinking that Bill's going to change his ways and acquiesce and say, oh, yeah, sure, Alex Guerrero can be back around the team and you can have it your way. I want you to hear this sound from Greg Bedard earlier this week about Brady maybe not being willing to bend on restructuring his contract. We'll get to that next on an agenda-free Friday. Again, want to hear from you, 617-779-0985. Maz is back, everyone. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Tom still doesn't have his contract extension. Now, I've heard rumblings that is because Brady's not in a hurry to help out the team. You know, I talked about how there was supposed to be a meeting, or at least they were trying to put a meeting together around the time of the Dolphins away game. It didn't happen. You know, and now with this Facebook video, it looks like things still haven't happened. And, talking to somebody who knows what was going on with the production of this, the Giselle quote and the Tom quote at the end, there was no accident that it was set up that way.
What are we doing this for? You know? What are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? You gotta have answers to those questions. And they have to be with a lot of conviction. You know, when you lose your conviction, then you probably should be doing something else.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just want, you know, he tells me, I love it so much and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
Certainly a lot there to dig into for Tony Maserati, who's back here on Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So last couple of years.
Yeah, last couple of years. So it's an agenda-free Friday. See here, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, who was in on the show Wednesday, Maz, saying, I've heard rumblings Brady isn't in a rush to help the team. He's on the books for $14 million this coming season. It's a $22 million cap hit. You see some of the money being thrown around to some of these stiff quarterbacks throughout the league in this offseason so far, like Sam Bradford getting $20 million from Arizona. And with everything still going on behind the scenes between he and Belichick, which I think is real, we can all agree with, I think, on that at this point. Otherwise, I think you're nuts. Can you blame him for not wanting to bend here? It's about time for him to get paid.
No, look, I've wondered this before, I left at the end of last week, Murray. Like, if the Patriots are as up against the cap as it felt like, why haven't they redone Brady's deal? Why can't they soften the cap hit by redoing Brady's deal and giving him a big bonus and dropping the base?
Because you don't want to help.
So, like, you know, to me, once that hasn't happened, the decisions they made to increase salary cap flexibility and whatever, it's an easy fix. Every other time they've done it, one of the calling cards of Brady's career, for crying out loud, has been this whole idea of Tom will take, you know, or will work with the team to make it more team-friendly. He'll do it. Why hasn't it happened yet? So, like, I believe it. I believe that he dug in his heels and said, no, screw you.
What do you make of all the stuff from that Tom versus Time episode?
So the ending is, you know, to me is, I haven't watched the whole thing, but the ending part of it is, you know, eye-opening. I think it validates a lot of what we're saying, that Brady's looking at this and saying, you're sucking the joy out of it for me. And he's saying it to Belichick. Did Belichick get named at all in the 6 episodes?
He did not. No.
I mean, not a single...
But you get conversations with Josh McDaniels, you have conversations with other players, but not one thing about Bill.
I mean, how is it that Tom Brady does a 6-part, you know, documentary on his most recent season, call it, and Bill Belichick's not mentioned once? Maybe once, he said, when he took out the playbook, if you remember, in the first or second episode, where he pulled it out of his little, you know, I don't want to say it was a safe, but bookshelf there.
Yeah, they go back and look at Super Bowl 42.
Right, and I took notes. Here's what coach says all the time, blah, blah, blah. But I think that's it. I think that's the only time there was even a passing reference to the guy.
Josh McDaniels is in there. Bob Kraft is in there. The phone call with his mother. I mean, there's like a holy trinity there. Tom Brady, Bob Kraft, and the coach. The coach whose name is never mentioned.
No, but where are the a-holes, Marshall? We're the ones making it up. None of it's real. Just part of the deal.
I mean, that part's true.
Look, to me, it feels like the players are making a statement down there. That's what it feels like. And I don't know if they're trying to get the coach fired, but they're making a statement.
Steve and Wes for Roxbury. Can you drop that, Jimmy? Did you get that? Thank you.
Good start, Murray.
Great start. Yeah, let's go to...
That's what happens when we leave you in charge.
Right. Yeah, just we work blue on the phones, Mass. Anthony in the North End on the trade for Jason McCourty. At least they're shoring up the secondary, it feels like, a little bit. Mass, go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, guys. What's up? You know what? It's funny. I just thought of this. Someone probably mentioned it yesterday. I wasn't really listening. But the more I look at this, the more I think this really had nothing to do with the player, with Jason McCourty, maybe a little bit. But I've been hearing about Jason McCourty trade rumors for years, and they've never got done. I don't know why they didn't get done, but regardless, they didn't get done. I really think this kind of goes towards Bill losing the locker room and appeasing Devin. And I think maybe it's kind of looking like a psychological ploy, like, okay, I'm losing all these guys. If there's one guy I really need, it's Devin in the locker room. Let's try to make him happy. And that's kind of just, I think it has much more to do with that than has to do with the player itself.
Anthony, I love this because right now, until we get answers, which we're not going to, I love reading way too much into the story and the dynamic between Belichick and this team behind the scenes right now. So think about it, Maz. Devin McCourty, who typically isn't outspoken, was somewhat outspoken after the Super Bowl loss, and even talked about Malcolm Butler on Sirius XM NFL radio and whatnot. Maybe this is a move to help appease him, to get him back in the fold.
Yeah, I don't rule it out. I mean, I don't rule out that it was an element in the deal. You know, this player was going to get released. So they wanted to make sure he didn't get to the market. They could have had him anyway, but they wanted to make sure they got him.
Right, because it was first as reported that he got cut.
And so, you know, and they you know, the deal was a nothing deal anyway. All they did was take on the contract. But the point is, even that for them, even if it's just $3 million, for them that's a sacrifice when they could get the player for less, for crying out loud. So I don't rule out that aspect of it, that it builds a little solidarity in the locker room or some support for Bill maybe at the very least. And at the same time, it was a position in need. And look, I don't mind the move. I don't know if the guy can play. We'll find out soon enough. But I feel better about it than I would have if Eric Rowe were out there.
Oh, me too. Yeah, and it adds depth. But you know what I want to ask you is, prior to you leaving, it felt like one of either Aqib Talib or Richard Sherman was going to end up being that second cornerback across from Gilmore next season. None of that happens, as Talib ends up in a Ram uniform thanks to a trade. And Sherman goes to the Niners with your boy Garoppolo. Any feelings on either of those?
Well, look, the market being what it is, I think they get priced out of a lot of these guys. So Sherman got, what, 27 and change, I think it was?
Well, as of right now, it's a $3 million deal.
I mean, Sherman.
It's incredibly incentive-laden, and he has to be out there. Like, as of right now, today, I mean, look, it'll go up, but, like, it's a $3 million real money deal.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Patriots would have been willing to go to 3 years on incentives. Not that, I mean... You know,
a lot of teams weren't. He called back the Seahawks and the same thing. Like John Schneider, the GM, said no, that's too rich for.
But it just felt to me like some of the deals that were out there. And again, Murray, the only way I can tell you it is the way I said it to you at the beginning of the show. It used to be that guys would take less to come here. Now guys won't take less to stay. So read that however you want. I'm telling you that's the fact. There have been plenty of guys who have chosen to come to New England to win, and we're willing to take less money. Now guys aren't willing to stay, and they're going somewhere else. So you tell me what's going on.
Matt and Quincy with the Patriots thought here on Felgram Mass. Go ahead, Matt.
Thanks. I also had a Red Sox question for Matt after real quick. How come all these Patriots reporters aren't still trying to dig into the Malcolm Butler? And something I haven't really heard anyone really bring up is that Belichick's kid was his coach. And do you think there was some kind of... issue between Belichick's kid and Butler? And my other Red Sox thing, Maz, was, were you more pissed off when the Red Sox didn't sign Teixeira more than you were when they showed zero initiative to get Stanton? And that's all I got. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm more pissed off about Stanton, but we don't have to relive that. So what was his first question?
How come some of the Patriots beat people haven't dug in on Malcolm Butler and found out if there was something between he and Belichick's kid, who's the secondary's coach, they're the safety's coach, right?
So, Jimmy, didn't you theorize that right after the Super Bowl?
Executive producer Jimmy Stewart, you had a whole thing on this, right?
Yeah. There was a massive incident between Stephen Belichick, Malcolm Butler, got physical, Butler cussed at him. And it got to Belichick, and Belichick's like, okay, this kid's sitting down.
So, Jimmy, you're stating that like it's fact.
Well, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly.
Is that Jimmy Stewart speculation, or is that from a J. Stew Underground source?
Could be a combination.
Wow.
I'll tell you, the more I think about it, I don't know where you stand on this now, the more I think about it, I don't think anything really happened. And if it did, I don't think it was anything all that major. I think that they decided they weren't going to play the guy. That's what I think. For whatever reason.
Well, you say they. It's Bill.
Bill. And then as the game wore on, he dug in his heels so much that he said, screw it, I'm going to win the game without him, because more often than not, every time he makes those moves, it works for him. This one didn't. And I think it cost him.
Well, wasn't it? Don't you look like I look at,
keep in mind, too, by the way, I'm not smart enough to come up with this stuff on my own. So
I look at this deal that he got, Maz. He gets real deal, top cornerback money. And I think it's like 30 some odd million guaranteed.
When 5 years, 61, right.
You look at the money. You look at the teams that were interested. Earlier this week, Mike Giardi, NBC Sports Boston, said Matt Patricia and the Lions were sniffing around. They were interested. He goes to the Titans, to a former Belichick disciple, and perhaps the guy who's the epitome of the Patriot way, and Mike Vrabel, who's the new coach there. John Robinson, former Patriot guy, GM. Isn't that a further indictment on Bill for not playing the guy?
Yes!
You have all these other guys that were part of the Belichick tree interested in him. If he was that bad of a guy, if something that bad happened behind the scenes, they wouldn't go near him with a 10-foot pole. Instead, he gets top cornerback money.
Correct. They wouldn't have gone near him, and he wouldn't have got the deal. Or if they did go near him, they would have gotten a different kind of contract, let alone the one he got. Listen, he whiffed! He whiffed. I don't know why people are still resisting that. And again, this unlike any other time during the Belichick era to me, has been a little bit different because there has been serious blowback to Belichick on this particular decision. It was a stupid move. If you wanted to sit him, sit him. Fine. But then you're going to put Richards and Bartomosi out there in the Super Bowl in the second half when you can't stop Nick Foles? I mean, Belichick made this bed for himself. He did. On lots of levels. Now, look, if we go back to the Guerrero thing, I put some of that on Brady. You know, he's going to have his little whoopee, and Belichick's trying to run the team, and then, you know, Kraft undermined him, and now you have what you have. I don't see how this thing gets past one more year. That's max. I don't see how is this going to last beyond one more year.
It doesn't feel like it's going to. Maz is back and coming in hot here on an agenda-free Friday. Let's hear from you at 617-779-0985. More of your calls. And again, I want to replay some of that sound from last night's Bruins game. That ridiculous penalty on David Backes is coming up right after the Hub headlines here with Marshall Hook. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-competitive. Stupid. They're so stupid. 98.5 Sports Hub.
Backes coming late, and he knocked down Trocheck, and that's going to draw Matheson, who's going to drop the gloves with Backes. He's firing a couple of right hands. Backes is going to try and respond. He has the jersey pulled over his head. The linesman intercede.
Head down, way down that time for Trocheck. Trocheck's leaning way down. He's not standing straight up. Think Charlie McAvoy leaning in. Think Brad Marchand leaning in. Backes gets him a little bit high, but he's leaning forward, and he's down.
The sheet says a match penalty for David Backes, which is for intent to injure.
I'm at a loss.
You know, it's kind of hit that I've been doing for years, so if this is kind of the new NHL, the new standard, then I hope I can have my old league back, but if not, then maybe there's some adjustments that I need to make.
You're right, David Backes. Make the NHL great again. Filger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Mike returns Monday, so you have, once again, Big Jim Ari in the A-hole chair. Maz is back on an agenda-free Friday. So David Backes hit with a match penalty for that hit to the head of Vincent Trocheck in the 3-0 loss to the Florida Panthers last night. Maz, again, just a joke. Bob Beers in that clip is rife. I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss when I see something like that, and you see a penalty like that. But the injuries piling up for this team. I don't know if you saw it. Zdeno Chara got dinged up this week. He's out tomorrow against Tampa.
As is DeBrusque, right?
Any growing concerns for this team?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. Although I do think that there's a certain amount of, and I think to some degree this is going on with both them and the Celtics. They're just managing bodies. I think that's some of it. both of them are going to essentially be where they are in the seeding. I don't know that either one of them is going to be able to change that now going forward. And so what do you start doing here? You get smart. You give the guys blows who need blows, and you give them a little. Now, look, the smart thing's different. You know, that one is serious and longer term. But like Horford, Kyrie Irving, Chara, DeBrusque, I'm not worried about those guys. I think they're being managed. I think that's what's going on.
Jared in the car on both the futures of the Bruins and Celtics. Go ahead. You're next here on Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Mass.
Hey, I was just wondering. I was just thinking about it last night. Like, in terms of the future of the Celtics and the Bruins, there's both two kind of players you can build your franchise around, one being the Celtics with Brown and Tatum, and the Bruins being McAvoy and Pasternak. And I was just wondering, who would you rather be, like, build that franchise around? Like, which one would you rather be in charge of?
Maz?
It's a good question. I mean, I don't, you know, when you look at it, you say they're both in pretty good spots. And so, you know, I mean, in basketball, the only problem is that it's so singularly reliant on the great player. So you need another guy. Even with Hayward, you need another guy. So you have to somehow find a way to get him. With the Bruins, I feel like they may have a lot of the pieces already, and you just have to wait for it to all kind of come together. And I'm not saying they're all the way there either, but I mean, it's close.
It is close. I you were away, and I had asked you earlier, you didn't get to watch the this double overtime loss that they had to the Wizards, shorthanded, but still, like, they blew a 20-point lead the way that they gagged it away. Tatum misses a free throw to ice it at regulation. Like, there's been a few games, including that one lately, where I'm starting to question whether or not I actually think that Jason Tatum is special. You know, I've said before with you guys, like, I wouldn't trade him in any permutation for an Anthony Davis trade. Like, I still think he can be an excellent pro. I think he can be a 2010 guy a night, but I don't know. I think he might lack that intestinal fortitude to be a superstar in this league. I know that he's young. I know that he's only 20. But if I had to pick based on what the caller said, I'm saying the Bruins. But I still even have health concerns about McAvoy with the heart thing and everything else, you know. But if I had to pick, I say I'd rather ride with the Bruins there and their youth and the upside on those two guys.
I'm not worried about Tatum. I just think, you know, this is what happens when a guy has to play an 82-game schedule for the first time.
Let's mix in a baseball call for you, Maz, here on Agenda Free Friday. Joe in Dorchester on the Red Sox. Go ahead.
I actually was going to say, what do you guys think about signing somebody, a veteran pitcher like Anibal Sanchez, and not rush the other pitchers back? But I just seen he signed with the Braves. What do you guys think about signing like a veteran and not basically rushing the guys that are injured back?
Maz, you have any concerns about the back end of that that rotation?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so do I.
And so, and when I say that, and to me, it's even beyond that. I mean, like, depth guys. They need another Doug Fister. That's what they need. They got to go out and get another guy like a Fister who that they can rely on if they have an injury. You can stash him in the minor leagues, do whatever. Or, you know, they're going to have some injuries at the beginning of the year with Rodriguez and Wright anyway. So, and even Pomeranz now. So maybe that's the way to do it. But they could use a cheap veteran starter. Yes.
You were down there checking out some of the games at spring training. So, you saw Chris Sale. Everything look all right?
I did. And then yesterday they had the full lineup basically on the field. And I thought Sale looked pretty good. I mean, he's clearly making an effort to get faster routes. You know, he threw more off-speed stuff than he normally would. He got strikeouts when he needed them. And Price, I thought, looked pretty good, except for the one inning, the second inning, where he really had to kind of grind his way through it. And but overall, you know, to me, I've said this before, Price, Bogarts, J.D. Martinez are the key guys for that team. They need all three of those guys to produce.
You know, both John Lackey and Clay Buchholz are available out there. I know there's no bigger fan of Clay Buchholz than you.
Yeah,
<so.
laughs> don't hold your breath, Marshall. He can do better than that.
Yeah.
Let's go to David in Springfield with a thought on the Patriots free agency thus far. David, you're next here on Felger and Mass.
Hey, Murray, first of all, I just want to say that hat is beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
I love it. The best thing you've ever worn on the show. I want to say something to Tony Mass about what he said earlier in the show. Let me ask you one question, Tony. Who would you have brought back now that you know the numbers for the Pats? And given their deficiencies on the defensive end, name one guy. Would you have given Nate Solder $35 million? Would you have given Amendola the money they gave him? Would you have given Deion Lewis the money they gave him?
Hey, David, why wasn't Solder signed earlier?
Because he wasn't. Because he stinks, that's why.
He stinks. Oh, so right. No, that's right.
He's not that good. That's why.
Yeah.
If they can move anybody over there, whether they give him $17 million versus $30 million, he's not worth $17 million guaranteed.
So they didn't want him then.
An answer, Tony.
So they didn't want him then, David.
Exactly.
Oh, so then why did they offer him $12 million a year?
Right.
He's not. Exactly.
Oh, God. Shut up. Get me. Yeah. See you later. Hey, did you drop him?
Yeah, I got rid of him.
Oh, God. You going to start with this now? This is the kind of jackass that bugs the crap out of me. Heaven forbid that the Patriots be wrong or mismanage or miscalculate something. Or heaven forbid that someone doesn't actually want to play here because, I don't know, maybe they're just not as high on it as you are.
But if you're controlling the money in the cap and you, like, look, I'm not. I'm
Murray,
sorry,
when a guy gets a free agency, the numbers are going to go up. If you want to keep him, you don't let him get to free agency. Simple fact. Anytime a guy gets to the market, the numbers are going to go up. Devin McCourty got to the market and the numbers went up and they jumped up and paid him. Dont'a Hightower got to the market and the numbers weren't as high as they thought and again they jumped up and paid him. These guys left. So listen, as a fan, you can justify it however you want. But the Patriots yahoos are bugging the crap out of me because the few of them that aren't seeing the picture clearly or really aren't seeing the picture clearly. When you get right down to it, again, how many guys here over the past 15 years, how many times have we had it shoved down our throats about how guys want to pay play here and they're willing to take less to be with Belichick and Brady? How many times have you said that? Now all of a sudden it goes the other way and you can't acknowledge that it's something else?
No, it's very clear that if they don't want to play here, then it's because they suck.
And oh, that's didn't want them to so begin with.
Disingenuous. I don't know what you don't get by that. It's clear. If they're not playing here, well, they suck. I mean, that's all there is to it.
I mean,
if they're Patriots, they're great. When they leave, they suck.
Oh, that's a loser's mentality.
No, come on.
Losers. And it all goes back to the fact that the quarterback stood up to the coach and the owner sided with him. It all goes back to that. At least it does in my mind.
In case you haven't noticed, Maz is back and coming in way hot here in the first hour of...
Why are you yelling at me?
Agenda Free Friday and Felker and Maz.
I'm not yelling. Sorry, Mark.
Good to have you back. No,
I'm happy to be back.
I'm glad you're yelling. It's good to have you back, pal. Coming up, our long commercial-free segment on Agenda Free Friday. Let's touch on the Celtics, eh? Let's get Maz caught up there. We have the latest on the hand injury for Marcus Smart and how long he's going to be out. We'll do that next here on Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
Always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum's free throw. No good. Rebound volleyed around. Markieff Morris has it. Drives from three quarters court, throws it over the backboard. And naturally, because what other way could this game go? We're going to double overtime.
The shots don't bother me at all. Like, that's just part of the game. You know, at the end of the day, you control what you can control. He made a great play, taking it to the basket. You know, I thought he did a lot of good things tonight. So, you know, there's no question. Jason Tatum at the free throw line is something that we all want.
You saw all the good and the bad of the 19-year-old kid playing in the NBA. I mean, Jason made some mistakes, but he had some great moments and has a wonderful, wonderful upside. And he's mentally tough and he's very versatile.
And he's also 20 years old, Danny Ainge. 20 is Jason Tatum. Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Felger still out. You have Jim Murray here in the A-hole chair. Maz is back. So that, of course, the sound, Maz, you missed it. Jason Tatum missing a free throw to ice the game to beat the Wizards. The Celtics have 9 available players the other night. They're a mass unit right now. They're back in action tonight on the road against Orlando. 7 o'clock tip. Catch it here on the Sports Hub. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell. Kyrie Irving out again with this knee issue. Sounds like Al Horford questionable with illness. And we have an update today on Marcus Smart. Going to have surgery on his thumb. Undergoing surgery today. Hope he can return sometime in the playoffs. That from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. It don't sound good. And you said...
To me, these things are 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
They're 6 to 8 week injuries. And so, and I say that from, you know, just having covered sports. You know, when guys get ligament injuries in that thumb area, it's a common baseball injury to hurt your ligament in there. You're looking at 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, that's what it's going to be.
You saw how poorly they played, especially defensively, without Marcus Smart. I know you're not the biggest Smart guy, and look, his shot drives me crazy too, but the intangibles that you get with Marcus Smart and the energy he brings on the defensive side of the ball, you can't replace it. There's that ability to frustrate and annoy. That's what I think is his best attribute. That's all going to be when he was gone prior to that that stretch before the All-Star break. It was just flat out bad basketball at times with the Celtics. So does this change your perspective of this team for the playoffs and how deep they could go? If
yes.
Be out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think that, you know, they should win the first round regardless. Because, you know, and I don't know what the matchup's going to be yet. I haven't even looked at the standings to see who's down at the bottom there.
Right now, you'd be playing Milwaukee.
Okay, so that's worrisome.
You'd lose that series right now.
I don't know. I'm not that big a fan of the Bucks. You know, I'm one of the few people who thinks that shocking Jimmy Giannis Antetokounmpo is overrated. I think he's a little overrated. And they should win the series regardless if they have everybody going. But they're going to probably have to play the second round without Smart. And then, you know, can they beat whoever they end up matched up with there? Whether it's Washington, Toronto, Cleveland, I don't know. I mean, to me, that becomes a different test. And, you know, to me, it's about those four teams in the conference. So I have my doubts. But if they can get through that round, I think that they have a chance of getting Smart back.
Paul in Somerville on Jason Tatum's free throw that he missed the other night. Go ahead, Paul. You're next here on Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Murray, you're a good guy, and I like a lot of your takes, but this one sucks. You're going to jump ship because he missed a free throw?
No, I'm not jumping ship. I'm getting concerned. It's not just that. How about taking the three in the end of the double overtime, Paul? How stupid was that?
Every night you can find a reason why this guy made a dumb mistake, because he's a rookie. He's 20 years old. Was Paul Pierce perfect in his rookie year? No, he was a terrible free throw shooter. Go back and look at the table of all the superstars. They all have their rookie woes. They all got over it. Relax. If you're going to be mad at anybody, be mad at Marcus Morris, who was completely out to lunch in that play. That was unexcusable.
Yeah, Paul, that one was unexcusable, too. So another thing you missed in this game where the Wizards have an opportunity to tie the game, but they need a three, right? And so Marcus Morris gets sucked in the paint and leaves. Who was it?
Bradley Beal.
No, it wasn't Beal. It was
Jordy Meeks?
Jordy Meeks out on the
something
perimeter.
Something named Meeks, Murray.
And Morris is just, I mean, he is nowhere near him. Again, 3 points. Just do the math. Make sure everyone's out in the perimeter or even foul.
Nope, like, I have to contest the layup because that's important. I have to contest it. I have to block it. That's what Morris was thinking.
It was inexcusable. Like, the way that they melted down in the end was just, it would have made you want to puke. So it's why we spent a lot of time on that game yesterday. I'm not out on Jason Tatum. I still wouldn't move him in a deal for Anthony Davis. I'm just questioning whether or not he's special because he's gotten tight in big moments towards the end of games, like he did against the Washington Wizards the other night at home. It's just a little bit of a concern.
I told you this was going to happen at the end of the year, Murray. Obviously, you didn't listen. At the end of the year, these guys are going to hit the wall, Brown and Tatum both. Wait till the playoffs come and the intensity gets ramped up. If you think they look bad now, wait till then.
Pedro and Gloucester on the Celtics. You're next here on an agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mass. Hey, Pedro.
Hey, how you doing? I was just wondering about a possibility for a buyout for Tony Allen to replace Marcus Smart's defense for the playoffs.
So, thanks. Jimmy, you're always talking to your underground sources over on Causeway. The Celtics looking to do anything here?
I don't think so. I don't think they can because they have their 15 roster spots. And I think they'd prefer to keep Abdel Nader, for example, over renting Tony Allen.
Well, there you go, Maz. More Abdel Nader. More minutes for guys like him and the Dancing Panda.
So, look, it just felt to me like the Celtics got to a certain point where they said that this is all we're going to do, and that's it. So, there's always the possibility there's another move coming, but it doesn't feel to me like they're going that way.
Well, this was something that, and Chris Gasser was going to be in for his normal spot in the 4 o'clock hour, and he brought it up last weekend during the Celtics show. Like, he's frustrated that they didn't do anything at the trade deadline.
No, they got Greg Monroe. That was their move, Murray.
Yeah, well, that was as minor a move as it can be. But still, it frustrates him, so we'll bring that up with Gasper when he's in the 4 o'clock hour here on Felger and Maz. Let's go to Longest Order Away. Tommy in the car, the Patriots. You're next here on Felger and Maz.
Hey, guys. Murray, thanks for taking the call. You've been doing great filling in. Maz, welcome back. So, on the Patriots, what I'm thinking is, you know, you guys talked about it earlier, how Danny Amendola, not lifelong Patriot, but he's Brady's guy. Nate Solder, a lifelong Patriot. Malcolm Butler, a lifelong Patriot. Are we finally seeing people jump ship? I mean, is this, I'm not Cam Newton, so I know how to reference the Titanic properly. Is this ship sinking and we need to be worried about it? I think that's what it is. People, obviously the big-time free agents don't want to come here, as we've seen. And I think Belichick's influence has gone sour. What do you guys think? Thanks a lot.
Maz?
So, Tommy, look, again, is the ship sinking? I'm not going to go that far when you've got Belichick and Brady. But I do think that the idea that you used to be able to attract guys and that they would play for less to be here, it certainly feels like that's gone. So if you don't want to say that guys are jumping ship, don't say it. That's up to you. What the hell can I tell you? I'm not going to change your mind like that other caller who got all pissed off because I suggested that they didn't want Nate Solder. They certainly offered him a lot of money for a guy they didn't want.
Marshall?
Doesn't it say something? I mean, say what you will about Nate Solder. This was his first kind of go at free agency. Danny Amendola, who got his pay cut 3 times in a row, who clearly by doing that showed a willingness to take less to play here, to play with Tom Brady, to win Super Bowls. The fact that he jumped, he was the first guy of this whole group to get the hell out. Doesn't that tell you right there? Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know? That this guy who did it over and over again, who took that pay cut to stay here and play with Tom Brady, got out quite literally the first chance he got this time around. That's everything I need to know.
See, to me, this is as simple as forget about what they say. Forget about what Malcolm Butler says in Tennessee, and we'll play the sound, because most of the time these guys are just going to get with their new teams. They're going to say all the right things. I want to thank the Patriots. I don't hold anything against anybody. Blah, 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 blah. I couldn't give two rat's asses what the hell they say. Judge them by their actions. Okay, judge them by their actions. Just look at the patterns. For years, guys came here to win. That's what they did. They came here to win. They still might. Jason McCourty's probably thrilled. In fact, I know he's thrilled to be out of Cleveland and in New England. Even if that was a trade, he's thrilled. He'd have come here in a second. But you had a bunch of guys leave, and you had a bunch of other guys on the market that are used to playing in winning organizations. Richard Sherman, Jordy Nelson, who didn't come to Foxborough for one reason or another. So to me,
with Richard Sherman, they never even picked up the phone. You know, that's one of the things that made me crazy about that, and seeing how incentivized that deal is. And I know that there's an injury concern with that Achilles, that they never even made any kind of phone call to even talk to him. That drove me nuts. Jordy Nelson, I can live with. I don't think that he was going to come here in the first place.
I mean, whatever great appeal there was at one point, I'm not saying it's all completely gone.
No, but it's lost its luster. I agree with you on that.
But it has lost some of it, at the very least. There are a lot of guys who look at it now and say, you know, I'm not going to stay. I can go play somewhere else.
You mentioned Malcolm Butler. He spoke about his benching in Super Bowl 52 at his introductory press conference in Tennessee yesterday. We'll get to that right after Marshall Hook gets you caught up with the latest in the Sports Hub headlines. It's Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.